let us now discuss the second chapter, that is laws pertaining to health. MTP Act 1971, that is the medical termination of pregnancy. It lays down that the conditions under which a pregnancy can be terminated. This is very important. You know, there are certain conditions under which only medical termination of pregnancy can be done. The person or the person who can perform such terminations, again, only people who are qualified to do this should attempt this. Unfortunately, this was done by a lot of unqualified people also previously, but has been taken to a care to a large extent that now only qualified people are doing it. The place where such terminations can be performed, you cannot perform this in routine conditions. You know, the place has to be proper for this. The conditions under which a medical termination of pregnancy can be terminated under the MTP Act 1971 is, there are five conditions that have been identified in this act. The medical condition is where there is continuation of pregnancy might endanger the mother's life. So whenever there is a risk to the mother's life, yes, it can be done. Eugenic, when there is a substantial risk of the child being born with serious handicaps due to physical or mental abnormalities, in that case the doctor might permit. When pregnancy is the result of rape, so on humanitarian ground it can be permitted. Socio-economic, when the actual or responsibly foreseeable environments, whether social or economic, could lead to risk of serious to the risk of injury to the health of the mother. Yes, and failure of contraceptive devices in view of the difficulty of proving that a pregnancy was not caused by failure of contraception. So under these five conditions, you know, it can be permitted. The written consent of the guardian before performing abortion in women under 18 years of age, and in lunatics even if they are older than 18 years, is very, very, very important, you know. So without consent, they should not be even attempted. Who are the people who can perform this abortion? Medical practitioner having experience in gynecology and obstetrics to perform abortion wherein pregnancy does not exceed 12 weeks. So in the first 3 months, ideally. However, when the pregnancy exceeds 12 weeks and is not more than 20 weeks, then the opinion of two registered medical practitioners is necessary to terminate the pregnancy. So after third month, you know, when condition is slightly you would always need two registered medical practitioners. Where it can be done, it has to be done at a place other than no termination of pregnancy can be done at a place other than a hospital or established or maintained by the government, or a place approved for this purpose act by the government. So as I told you, it cannot be done in normal clinic scenario or anywhere. It has to be done in a hospital which is maintained by the government, or a place which has been approved by the government, you know, approval by the board. Unless the new rules, under the new rules, the chief medical officer of the district is empowered to certify that the doctor has the necessary training in gynecology and obstetrics to do the abortions. Now, what are the qualifications to perform abortion? The new rules allow for registered medical practitioners to qualify through on-the-spot training if he has assisted a registered medical practitioners in the performance of 25 cases of medical termination of pregnancy in an approved institution. Then he is qualified to do it. The doctor may also qualify to do a MTP under the new rules if he has one or more of the following qualifications, which are similar to the old rules. That is 6 months of housemanship in gynec department, a postgraduate qualification of OBG, that is obstetrics and gynecology, 3 years of practice in OBG for those doctors registered before the 1971 MTP Act was passed, and 1 year of practice in OBG for those doctors registered on or after the date of the commencement of Act. So these doctors also do qualify. Now the place where the abortion is performed under the new rules, non-governmental institutions may also take up abortions provided they have a license from the chief medical officer. So a place should be approved and they should have a license also if it is done in a non-governmental institution. The MTP Act Amendment 2002, the act may also be called as a Medical Termination of Pregnancy Amendment Act 2002. It shall come into force on such dates as the central government may by notification in the Official Gazette appoint. Amendment of Section 2. In the Section 2 of the MTP Act 1971, the word lunatic means a mentally ill person shall be substituted. For Clause B, the following clauses shall be substituted, namely, mentally ill person means a person who is in need of treatment by reason of any mental disorder other than the mental retardation. So, a mentally ill person is basically who requires treatment for some mental disorder other than mental retardation. The amendment of Section 3, in subsection 4, the word lunatic, the word mentally ill person shall be substituted. Substitution of new section of Section 4. For Section 4 of the Principal Act, the following sections shall be substituted, namely, number 4, no termination of pregnancy shall be made in accordance with this Act at any place other than the hospital established or maintained by the government. This is the amendment that has been made, or a place for the time being approved for the purpose of this Act by a government or a district level committee constituted by that government with the chief medical officer or district health officer as the chairman of the said committee, provided that the district level committee shall consist of not less than 3 and not more than 5 members, including the chairperson, as the government may specify from time to time. There was an amendment of Section 5. In the Section 5 of the Principal Act, for subsection 2, the following is made punishable. As per the IPC, Indian Penal Code, that is 45 of 1860, MTP done by a person who is not registered medical practitioner shall be an offence which is punishable with rigorous imprisonment for 2 years, but it can also extend to 7 years under that code, and that code shall to this extent stand modified. So, a person who is not registered, if he is doing it, then it's a punishable offence with imprisonment of 2 years, which can extend up to 7 years. Termination of pregnancy in a place other than that mentioned in Section 4. So, it has to be done either in a government institution, or if it's a non-government institution, they should have the license. If it is done in any other place, it is punishable with rigorous imprisonment for a term that shall not be less for 2 years and which may extend up till 7 years. Any person being owner of a place which is not approved under Clause B of Section 4 shall be punishable with rigorous imprisonment for a term which shall not be less than 2 years but which may extend for 2 years. So, suppose if a person is having a nursing home, but which is not authorized to do MPP, and he allows the procedure to be done, then that becomes a punishable offence for a minimum of 2 years and which can extend for 7 years also. The expression owner in relation to a place means any person who is the administrative head or responsible for the working or maintenance of the hospital or a place, but whatever name called, the pregnancy may be terminated under this Act. Explanation 2. For the purpose of this section, so much of the provision of Clause D of Section 2 as related to the possession by a registered medical practitioner of experience or training in gynecology and obstetrics shall not apply. Now, Central Births and Deaths Registration Act 1969. This particular act came into force on the 1st of April 1970. The objective of this act was to improve the civil registration system. The act provides for the compulsory registration of births and deaths throughout the country. This is a very important point. So, all the births and the deaths throughout the country have to be registered. It is compulsory. Compilation of vital statistics in the state so as to ensure uniformity and comparability of data. The time limits for registering the events of birth is 14 days and that of death is 7 days. So, within once a child is born, within the first 14 days, registration of the birth is necessary, and after death, 7 days, within 7 days it is necessary. When certifying death, if the medical officer has had that person under treatment and has seen him not earlier than 1 week before death and is certain that at the time of the death that was natural and he had died from the disease he was treating. So, any person who is certifying the act, the medical officer has seen him not earlier than 1 week before death and that person was under his treatment, he can give that medical certificate, is certain that at the time that was natural and he had died from the disease he was treating. him. So in that case, the medical officer can issue a death certificate provided he has seen the deceased during his terminal stages or after death and has excluded any foul play. This is very important. If he is in doubt, the death certificate should not be issued. As for the World Health Organization, that is the WHO guideline, should be followed. International classification of diseases and cause of death published by WHO should be addressed to. Number 1A, that is immediate cause of death resulting from previous morbid conditions resulting the above death and leading to it, or other non-related significant diseases which directly did not result in but had a role to play in morbidity or mortality. Now, the infant milk substitutes, feeding bottles and infant food Act 1992. The GOI enacted the infant milk substitutes, feeding bottles and the infant food, that is Regulation of Production, Supply, Distribution Act 1992. It came into effect from 1st August 1993. The main aim of this act was to protect and promote breastfeeding and to ensure proper use of infant foods. So this is a very important act to promote breastfeeding, as we all know, you know, how important it is for a child to be on breast milk at least for the first 6 months, you know. So to promote breastfeeding was one of the very important criteria. It also aims to regulate the production, supply and distribution of infant milk substitute and feeding bottles post 6 months, or in case the mother is not able to feed the child for various conditions. So in that case, whatever the milk substitutes are available, the production, supply and distribution of milk substitutes, all this has to be done in a proper regulated manner. The officer authorized by the state government under section 12 of this act is basically a medical officer in charge of the health administration of a local area. He has to be a graduate in medicine and has received at least 1 month of training in food inspection and sampling work approved for the purpose of food inspection under the Prevention of Food Adulteration Act 1954. He is responsible for application and spreading information about this act. So this is very important. FDA guidelines have to be followed. The person should have the required skills and the knowledge. He should have at least received 1 month in training in food inspection and sampling work. Proper information about this act should be given to the general public also. The following details of advantages, as also nutritional superiority of breastfeeding. We have discussed this. Colostrum is more nutritious than that of nature milk because it contains more protein, more anti-infective properties, which are of great importance for the infant's defense against dangerous neonatal condition. It also contains higher levels of vitamin A. So, breast milk has a lot of advantages. And most important is it has a lot of anti-infective properties, which are so important for the child, especially during the first 6 months or a year, you know, when the body's natural defense mechanisms are not that strong. So at that time, the breast milk plays a very, very important role. Breast milk is a complete and balanced food and provides all the nutrients needed by the infant in the first few months of its birth. It has anti-infective properties that protect the infant from infection in the early months. It is always available and needs no utensils or water which night germs can carry or fuel for its preparation. So it can be very easily given to a child. The advantages are innumerable, and most important being anti-infective. So breast milk should be encouraged at least for the first 6 months or 1 year. Breastfeeding is much cheaper than feeding infant milk substitute, as the cost of the extra food and these milk substitutes are very expensive. Needed by the mother is negligible compared to the cost of feeding infant milk substitutes. Mothers whose breastfeed usually have longer periods of infertility after childbirth. Yeah, this is also very important. Mothers who are breastfeed their children, you know, they have longer periods of infertility after the childbirth. Details of management of breastfeeding are as unders. Immediately after delivery enables the contraction of the womb and helps the mother to regain her figure quickly. Very important. Is successful when the infant suckles frequently and the members wanting to break free is confident in her ability to do so. So it has a lot of advantages, you know. Most importantly is contraction of the womb after pregnancy. Is successful when the infant suckles frequently and the members wanting to breastfeed is confident in her ability to do so. In order to promote and support breastfeeding, the mother's natural desires to breast food should always be encouraged by giving where needed practical advice and making sure that she has the support of her relatives. Adequate care of the breast and the nipples should be taken during pregnancy. It is also necessary to put the infant to the breast as soon as possible after delivery. You know, so moment after delivery, this is the best thing. You know, so mother should also ensure that proper care is taken of the breast and the nipples during the pregnancy, and the child should be put onto it as soon as possible. Let the mother and the infant stay together after the delivery. The mother and the infant should always be allowed to stay together in hospital. That is called rooming in. Give the infant colostrum, as it is rich in many nutrients and anti-infective factors, protecting the infant from infection during the first few days of its birth. The practice of discarding colostrum and giving sugar water, honey water, butter or other coconut instead of colostrum should be very strongly discouraged. You know, so there are a lot of old people who have various thinkings that, you know, you should give honey or sugar water or all other things, you know, to infants, but they should be strongly discouraged, especially during the first 6 months after a child's birth. The practice of discarding colostrums should be very strongly discouraged, and putting the child onto other supplements is not at all wise or advisable. Let the infant suckle on demand. So whenever, you know, the infant wants, he or she should be given breast milk. Every effort should be made to breastfeed the infants whenever they cry. An offense punishable under this act is cognizable but bailable. Section 20 of the act provides for penalty for violating the provision of this act. It may range from 6 months to 3 years of imprisonment and a fine of up to 5,000 rupees. So as far as possible, you know, whenever the child cries or whenever the child requires milk, breast milk should be provided. The Food Safety and Standards Act 2005. This is a very, very important act. And what is the objective of this act is, it has been passed to consolidate the laws relating to food and to establish the food safety and standard authorities of India, for laying down science-based standard for articles of food and to regulate their manufacture, storage, distribution, sale, import, to ensure availability of sale and consumption of wholesome food for human consumption. So as we see, you know, the laws have been passed so as to establish the safety standards for food authority, to as far as the manufacture is concerned, storage, distribution, sale, everything is concerned. So all these things have to follow the rules and the regulations which are properly laid down. So because ultimately, you know, anything which is there for human consumption cannot be just anything and everything. It has to follow certain guidelines. So FDA rules have to be properly followed for things which are for human consumption. Adulterant means any material which is or could be employed for making the food unsafe or substandard, misbranded or containing extraneous matter. Label means any tag, brand, mark, pictorial or other descriptive matter, written, printed, mark on attached to cover, lid or crown of any food package and includes a product insert. So adulterant can be any material which can make a particular product substandard, you know. So you got to be very careful with that. And label means any tag or a brand mark which gives information about the product, and it's generally on the product which is there. What is substandard? It's an article of food shall be deemed to be substandard if it does not meet to the specified standards, but not so as to render the articles of the food unsafe. So not necessarily being unsafe, but again it does not meet the specified standards. So that should be avoided as far as possible. Now let's come to the important provisions of this act. The Food Safety and Standard Act is an integrated food law. It is designed to avoid the previously existing multiplicity of legislation. It replaces all the previous laws relating to food, creates a specialized bureaucracy to administer its provisions and establish the Food Safety and Standards Authority, that is FSSA, to regulate the sector and allied committees. FSSA will be aided by several scientific panels and a central advisory committee to lay down standards for food safety. there is a provision for compulsory registration or license for every food retailer, hawker, vendor and temporary store holder under regulations made by this act. This is very important because even the food that is given by hawkers and vendors or the stall holders, even they need to have licenses, otherwise nobody can sell anything and everything. The act applies to both large and small operators, defining a food business as any undertaking, whether for profit or not, and whether the public or private carrying out any of the activities related to any stage of manufacture, food processing, packaging, storage, transportation, distribution of food or import of food. Recent times, we have seen a lot of cases of food adulterations which have been highlighted by the media. So it is very important that they follow the guidelines provided by this act, and the same is applicable even for however big the corporation is or however small that manufacturer is. Ultimately, it's the people who are consuming the food, right? So whenever it is anything to do with human health, has to pass the standards which are laid down by the act. The law will be enforced through state commissioners of food safety and local officials. The act empowers the FSSA and state food safety authorities to monitor and regulate the food business operators. So it empowers the authorities, to monitor these people who are in the food industry. As I said, however big or small, that is irrespective, but everybody has to follow the guidelines. The penalties provided are mostly in the nature of fines and trial by special courts in case of serious offences. The Act provides for graded penalty structure where the punishment depends on severity of the violation. Offences such as manufacturing, selling, storing or importing substandard or misbranded food could incur a fine. So, though there are various punishments or generally in the form of fines, or in some cases if the offence is very serious, trials by special court, there is a penalty structure. But all said and done, the message has to be very clear to all this manufacturing people that guidelines have to be followed. You cannot take people's health for granted. The Act contains a provision under Section 69 which empowers designated officers to impose and fine up to 1 lakh on petty manufacturers, hawkers, retailers, etc. if they have a reasonable belief that an offence has been committed. Very dangerous, what I have seen in recent times, if the hawkers who are, I've seen so many of them outside schools. So I wish the authorities could also, lay down certain condition rules where outside schools, they should not be allowed to have stalls outside schools or where, children are there, because children consuming food which is on road is, according to me, is not acceptable. So a fine should be imposed on such people also. In order to judge cases related to breach of specified regulation, the state government has the power to appoint an adjusting officer not below the rank of an additional district magistrate. So if there is any breach of any of the regulations, then the state government has the power to appoint an officer who is not below the rank of an additional district magistrate. Every distributor is required to identify any food article to its manufacturer and every seller to its distributor. Anyone in this sector should be able to initiate recall procedure if he finds that the food sold has violated specific standards. I wish this could be true, but yes, it has to be done. If any food is which has been sold has violated specific standards, it should be immediately brought to the notice. Offences and penalties, the Food Safety and Standards of Act specifies very heavy fines ranging from 1 lakh to rupees 10 lakh in clauses 50 to 65 of the Act, accompanied with imprisonment, cancellation of license, etc. The offences are triable by a metropolitan magistrate or a magistrate of the first class. So, yes, the fines are very heavy, but I still feel, the damage once done, especially in the case of children. So, I feel during the time of issuing the licenses, only all the strict quality control checks, the regulations, all the specifications have to be followed. If they are not followed, licenses should not be given. Well, let's come to the description of the offense. So, punishment: selling of any food which is not conforming up to the law. The penalty is up to 5 lakhs. Selling any food which is not in compliance with the nature or substance or quality demanded by the purchasers, penalty is up to 2 lakhs. Manufacturing for sale, storing, selling, distributors, importing any food which is substandard or misbranded or contains extraneous matter, and substandard, penalty up to rupees 5 lakhs. misbranded, penalty up to rupees 3 lakhs. And again, misleading advertisement, penalty up to 10 lakhs. So, yes, at the end of the day, you know, all the penalties and all these things are there. But I think the first step, what these authorities should also take is to see to it at the very first stage itself, if they found any discrepancy, you know, they should, the people who are in this business should not be given the licenses. Because money cannot ever replace the damage done to human. So this department has to be very, very strict, and all misbranding or the misleading advertisements which we see so many of them even now, you know, so they should be controlled to a larger extent. So now for this particular offense, like if the company is not in compliance with the standards of a food business operator or importer without reasonable ground, then they can be penalized for rupees 2 lakhs. If the manufacturing or a processing food unit is under unhygienic or unsanitary conditions, then the penalty is 1 lakh. I wish this could be much, much more, because a lot of these can be found in India. Even the hotels, for that matter, you know, the way the food is prepared. I would always advise people to, you know, go and check the kitchens. Once you enter the hotel, if it is hygienic, yes, you can consume food, but otherwise please walk out. Importing or manufacturing for sale or storing, selling, distributor any injurious or non-injurious adulterant. If it is not injurious, penalty is up to 2 lakhs, and if it is injurious, penalty is up to rupees 10 lakhs. Manufacturing for sale or storing, selling, distributing, importing any unsafe food which consumed has not caused any injury or has resulted in non-grievous injury or in grievous injury and death. So if it is unsafe and if there is no injury, then imprisonment up to 6 months and a fine of up to rupees 1 lakh. If it is unsafe, non-grievous injury, imprisonment is up to 1 year and fine up to rupees 3 lakhs. If it is unsafe, grievous injury, then imprisonment is up to 6 years and fine up to 6 lakh rupees. And if it is unsafe, grievous injury, imprisonment up to 7 years and fine up to rupees 10 lakhs. So there are a lot of amendments and repeals. The Prevention of Food Adulteration Act, which was 1954, section 37 of 1954, the Food Products Order 1955, the Meat Food Products Order 1973, the Vegetable Oil Products Control Order 1947, Edible Oils Packaging Order 1998, the Solvent Extract Oil, De-oiled Mill and Edible Flour Control Order 1967, the Milk and the Milk Products Order 1992, and any other order issued under the Essential Commodities Act 1955 relating to food. Thank you.